is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. Ship.
Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated. I'm glad that you're here this evening. I hope you're glad that you're here this evening. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you. If you're here in person, we do have a small card that hopefully you have in your hand. Or if you don't, you can get it from one of the ushers or at the kiosk. Connection card. And if you would take a moment and fill that out. If you're a guest of ours online, you can also connect with us there through the bit.ly link that is there on the screen. So please take a moment. We're glad that you're with us. We want to show you our appreciation and let you know how happy we are that you're with us. Also, we want to remind you of our giving options. You can give any number of ways. You can give online. And you can give in person here by going to the kiosk out in the vestibule. There's a receptacle there, a box that you can drop your offering in. And you can do that by mail, or also you can do it online with the Church Center app. If you don't have that, it's easy to download, and you can start today. Amen. This Sunday in the 11 a.m. service, we will be emphasizing Pentecost Sunday. That's coming up on June 5th, Pentecost Sunday in the 11 o'clock service. But we want to begin to promote Pentecost Sunday. It's a special day for us Pentecostals, and we want to invite someone to have their own Pentecost on Pentecost Sunday. So start thinking of who you can invite to that service on the 5th of June. You can get some, there are some CGC invitation cards. They're little business cards that you can hand to someone and invite them to service. Put your own information on there. Maybe use it as an icebreaker to start a conversation about what Pentecost is. Please consider that. Start praying about it, praying about Pentecost Sunday, and find out where the open door is and let God lead you through it. Everyone said amen. Amen. We'd like to ask you to stand at this time. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Kevin Malling is at St. Mary's Hospital right now. He's experiencing some dizziness. And as you know, Brother Kevin has other health issues that would that may cause that, but nonetheless, he's in the hospital right now. I want to remember Brother Kevin in prayer. If you have a need, I would like for you to identify that need. Just as much as you're comfortable, go ahead, raise your hand or ask someone near you to pray with you, whatever you feel comfortable with. But we believe that our God is alive, our God is real, our God hears us, and our God answers prayer. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are never far from any one of us. We thank you, Lord, that we can feel your presence. Much more than that, we can rely on your word, O God, knowing that you have promised that you will hear us and that you have promised, O God, to work in our lives. So we come to you in prayer now, believing, O God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray for Brother Kevin Malling, O God, that even in this moment, Lord, he would feel the touch of God, that his body, his mind, his spirit would be strengthened by your spirit, by your ministry. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are struggling with health issues tonight, O God. We pray for Sister Thompson, for Sister Christina McKnight, O God. We pray, God, for miracles in their bodies. We pray, God, for a work of God here in this service tonight, that we might all recognize your presence, that we might all receive a word from you and hear your voice and be submitted to your will. Work among us, O God, and work through us as we pray for one another. Reveal your will, O God, but reveal your power as well, we pray. And we will give you glory and praise in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord.
Jesus, and thank God that he is. and I have been the prodigal return. That's why I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone, and now
the Lord, church. You remember that day? We're talking about repentance on Sunday morning, that day you repented of your sins. Maybe the same day or shortly after, you went down in water, had all your sins washed away, and then filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that's forgiving. You can be seated this evening. Thank you, Brother Dan, Sister Alicia, Jamin in the drum cage. So good to have Jamin and Hannah back. We've started a series. We titled this Encouraging Others. In the last few messages, last few weeks, starting last Wednesday and then again on Sunday, we talked about the characteristics of our God. And we talked about the attributes of God, which is kind of another name for characteristics. And I felt that it was necessary to start at this particular point in this series due to the fact that if one does not believe in God, and one does not believe that God is who he says he is, then it becomes very difficult to believe that that same God can do what he says he can do and what you need him to do in your life. So for the past few sermons, we've kind of laid out who God is and what God is as far as his characteristics, things that God has revealed to us in his word. And I know we did not cover all that could be covered, and it's just a base or a foundational beginning or a starting point, per se. We could spend, or one could spend an entire lifetime studying God or who God is and what God can do, and still not be able to take and complete and understand everything there is to know about God. But I wish to move on in our series of encouraging others. And the next point that I wish to cover is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. And I'm reading out of the New International Version, or the NIV version, tonight. When it said, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, we recently completed a series in which we studied the gifts of the Spirit. And we talked about how everyone should have a gift or gifts, and how important it is to have gifts of the Spirit and fruits of the Spirit operating within our own lives and within our church. Now, I believe very strongly that every Christian that professes to have any level of Christianity, I mean, we have, that's a very broad term when you say you're a professing Christian, but I believe every Christian should have the gift of encouragement. I don't believe that it is the responsibility of a Christian to go around beating people down, criticizing people, and frustrating those around us. When we show up, we should be there to give encouragement and to bring peace, to bring unity. And you may say, well, I'm not sure that God wanted me to have that particular gift of encouragement. I may respond to that by encouraging you to read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 in the Amplified. I love the Amplified, one of my favorite interpretations or versions of Scripture. It says, but instead warn, and then in parentheses it says to admonish, urge, and encourage one another every day. As long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened into subtle rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, by the fraudulence, the trickery, and the delusive glamour of his sin may play on him. So here in the Amplified, we are encouraged, we are to encourage one another every day. So I could ask you this question: how often should you encourage your brother or sister? And it should be coming out of your lips every day I need to be encouraging my brother or my sister. Now, encouragement, it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And at different times in our life, encouragement may mean one thing to one person and another thing to another. So let's look at what does encouragement actually mean. When we look at the Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, the word encouragement is defined as the act of encouraging, incitement to action or to practice, that which serves to incite, support, promote, or advance as favor, countenance, reward, etc., incentive, increase of confidence. It has been said, not for sure who coined this phrase, but it says, flatter me and I may not believe you, criticize me, I may not like you, ignore me, I may not forgive you, encourage me, and I will not forget you, love me, and I may be forced to love you. The word of encouragement, or a word of encouragement during a failure, is worth more than an hour of praise after success. When you give a word of encouragement, I encourage you to pray with or give counsel to someone else who you are lifting up. In reality, we have to understand when we are giving encouragement to other people, we are in fact lifting ourselves up. So if you're lifting them up, encouraging them, praying for them, counseling them, blessing them, then you are also in a process of lifting up yourself. You may ask the question, when it comes to encouragement, who is the first person that you should encourage? You may look around you and you may see people. We have a lot of folks that are struggling in various areas of their lives and with health and lots of different things going on right now. And so you may look and say, well, who would you recommend, Pastor, that I be put first on my list of encouragement? And most of the time I would recommend that you encourage a brother or a sister, but sometimes it doesn't always work out to where we can muscle up within our own set of circumstances the encouragement that we may need for a brother or a sister. So my mind goes to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David called in his mighty men of valor and began to encourage them. No. Called in his family? No. Called in his closest confidants? No. But David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. I think one thing that we, a lot of times as Christians, really struggle with is we're real good at encouraging others, but we're not so good at encouraging ourselves. So we're going to talk about that tonight and Sunday morning on encouraging ourselves in the Lord. You see, in times of great trouble, danger, and distress, when all seemed lost, the scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. You have to understand the context of this particular passage. David and his men returned from battle only to find out that the very enemy that they were fighting had come around behind and stolen their wives, stolen their children, the possessions and valuables, and all that they found was their camp, their homes was just smoldering remains from the fires of the enemies that had invaded them. And David's men, who had been so loyal to him, were ready to turn on him and stone him to death. But what does Scripture say in this particular time, this low spot in David's life? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now we understand one thing about David. David was a master of writing psalms or songs. We sing songs of worship in every service, and we sing songs of worship tonight about praise. Every praise is to our God, and every word of worship, songs and singing, to just have, it just has a way of opening us up out of our hearts and our minds. And sometimes we struggle, and there are times in my life where I've had just seemingly battles and fights that you just can't seem to get your way through. And you turn on a CD, or you turn on your phone to your favorite music apps, and you begin to listen to words of encouragement. And someone wrote these words to a song. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes you have to speak victory during the test. No matter how you feel, speak the word and you will be healed. Speak over yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I don't know who wrote these words to this particular song, but I encourage you tonight, brothers and sisters, to sing unto the Lord and to worship him for his goodness and thank him with your praises. I am thankful. I am thankful for such an awesome God that we serve. And when you pray, pray with a pure heart. Because God desires to hear and answer our prayers, and God will set you free, because God is with us. He is with you. Scripture tells me he will never leave nor forsake me. I will not be afraid of anything. I will not be afraid of anyone, since they can't hurt me, because if God is for me, who can be against me? As Bishop used to always tell us, if God is for us, if God is for me, everybody else might as well be. Church, we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, just as David did. So I want to just share a few things in looking at the life of David and how David encouraged himself in the Lord, and how we can follow some of the same patterns that David had developed in his life. One thing that David did was David had an attitude of gratitude. As I said, David was very good at writing psalms, and David, it seems like he always was thankful and he was always grateful. No matter what state he was in, no matter what stage or where he was in his life, he had an attitude of gratitude towards God. A lot of times in our lives, and I have to put myself at times in this category, things don't go quite how we think they should go, how we desire them to go, how we want them to go, and we cop a little bit of an attitude with God, don't we? Nobody wants to be honest with this tonight. We can be like Job sometimes. We're, you know, everything's falling apart, and we start to get frustrated with God. Say, God, how can you allow all of this to happen to me? What did I ever do to deserve this? God, I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing this. But David never seemed to have a sour attitude. We have a song that we used to sing, and nothing against the songs we sing now, but it's, you remember the song, Look What the Lord Has Done? Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name, because every day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. What has God done in your life? Do you have an attitude of gratitude, or have you developed a sour attitude to where you're not quite as thankful, perhaps, as you should be? The words to this song are much more than just a catchy tune. It's really where the rubber meets the road, and it's where reality hits life. The things that you've accomplished in your life are based on what the Lord has done through you and sometimes to you. Did you just get that? The words to this song would talk about, look what the Lord has done. The things that you've accomplished, that we've accomplished in life, are based on what the Lord has done through you and sometimes what he has done to you and what he does for you. Look what the Lord has done. Every success, every accomplishment in your life, an attitude, we're talking about an attitude of gratitude, should be immediately and continually followed by a time of praising God for what he has done. I'm so thankful. I look around sometimes at the blessings that God has given to me and the blessings I have in my life, the friendships, the relationships, and I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life, because it wasn't always this way. I didn't always feel this way. We read in Psalms chapter 35, verse 28, and my tongue shall talk of your righteousness and justice, and of my reasons for your praise all the day long. Without question, if you want to feel the presence of God fast in your life, then all you have to do is start offering up praises to him. That is sometimes a very hard thing to do. But you see, when David encouraged himself in the Lord, David just developed, I don't know exactly where, perhaps when he spent a lot of time alone as a young person out in the fields and isolated from his family and not having anyone to converse with on a day-to-day basis, probably got tired of talking to sheep and goats and whatever else that he herded, and he just developed a relationship with God. And he talked with God. The scripture says he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. If that is correct, then we need to lift our voice in praise and adoration for what he has accomplished through you. You ever think about how fortunate and how blessed we are to be that conduit in which God has chosen, that vessel in which God has chosen to flow through to affect the world around us? You ever think about that? Why did God choose me? Why did God choose you? You see, when we live with an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, when you get out in front of the battles that you're facing, then God will move more quickly in your life and things will become or be accomplished much more quickly. Not only does God move quickly on your behalf, but he also, this is something that is very intriguing to me. Do you realize that God desires to sing over you? Have you ever heard that before? Ever heard? This struck me. Sometimes it's amazing when you study the Word of God what you can find. Not only does God want to move quickly on your behalf, but he wants to sing over you. That's what Scripture tells us. When we read in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord your God, this is so powerful of a passage of Scripture. When the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves, he will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love he will be silent and make no mention of your past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing. Now, what does that word exult mean? When it says he will exult over you, he will triumph over you, he will glory over you, he will rejoice over you with singing. This is what God desires to do for his children. Now, how awesome is this? To know that God, in the midst of our trials, and in the midst of our sicknesses, and in the midst of our sorrows, it is great to know that God, in the midst of all of this, loves us, and that he loves us so much that he's rejoicing over each of us. And he rejoices over each of us so much that he sings about us. Can you imagine that? God singing about you? But this is what Scripture tells me. The King James Version says that God will joy over thee with singing. We read the English, contemporary English version. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love. Is that amazing, or is that amazing to know that God loves us so much that he celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love? Having God singing over us is so much more comforting, so much more reassuring when it comes from God himself. God is so good. God is so good. Now, I'm going to stop at this point. Now, you may look at the clock and say, oh, my word, it's 7:45. We were going to have a little bit longer of a worship service, and we had some things that happened, and we weren't able to do that. But I want to have you stand, and I want to have our worship team come back up. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we know that one thing that gets God's attention is God loves worship. And God loves to be exalted. And it's not how well we sound. Now, this is a unique thing when it comes to us singing to our God. It doesn't matter how you sound, because it says in Scripture that our singing comes up to him as a sweet-smelling savor. So that means when we worship God in song, no matter how pretty we sound to each other, and how well it fits in our ears, it doesn't affect God's ears at all. It affects his nostrils. Did you know that? God doesn't look and say, oh man, Dan Powell, I love hearing him sing. Now this sounds so crazy, but Dan, God looks at you and says, I love how this man smells. Have you ever thought about that? So you know what that means? That means some of the sweetest smelling spices can sometimes smell, depends how you, some things can smell real bad to others and smell, so I'm just thankful that hopefully that as I worship my God, however I sound, he likes the way it smells. So what we're going to do is we're just going to worship God just a little bit. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Doesn't have to be anything exuberant. You don't have to run, jump, shout, and scream. You can just lift your hands and begin to worship God and present yourself to him as a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, I'm going to encourage myself right here. I've had a bad day. I've had a bad week. I got a bad report. I've had struggles in marriage and finances, whatever it may be, I just encourage you to lift your hands and begin to worship God and encourage yourself and the Lord tonight. Brother Baker, would you lead us?
Jesus had the same. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it'll always be Jesus, nothing else.
develop an attitude of gratitude. So as we leave here tonight, I want you to go home and I want you to take and work on, not saying you have a bad attitude, not accusing anyone of that, but just work on your attitude of gratitude to where that even though, I mean, every day there's just, there's no good news. if you're caught up in news and world events, there's the next greatest world event's going to be the rapture taking place, but we're here and we still have a job to do. We can get caught up and we can get wrapped up. So just remember, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself. We can encourage ourselves. We can encourage ourselves. Do we need each other? Yes. Do we need a church, our brothers and sisters? Yes. So God bless you. Thank you so very much. We will see you on Sunday morning. And I believe we're going to be talking in our Bible, adult Bible study about baptism. And I'm excited about that. God is so good. Meet and greet a brother or a sister if you're a guest of ours. Thank you so very much for coming tonight. Encourage one another. God bless you. Love you all. We'll see you back on Sunday.